Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
From the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and I am very excited because we have the lovely Leah Haven in studio, owner and founder of SmartFem.com. And of course, Leah, how are you?
I am doing great. I'm pretty excited about today's show.
I know. I got so excited. I was almost saying you're the owner of Match No Match and SmartFem.com, of course. But this is Match No Match. And of course, we have a phenomenal show, a little different today.
Yes.
Because it's a celebrity mystery guest we have on today.
That is correct. I'm really excited about this, Dave.
This is great because you were able to make contact with such an amazing guest. And we will disclose who that is in just a second or two, maybe a minute or two. And this lady has written a phenomenal book.
You know, her book was such a fun read. I'm really excited about it because it really kind of embodies. Should I go ahead and tell everybody who this mystery guest is, Dave?
I think we should tell. Yeah, I think we should. I think we should tell everybody right now.
Okay. Well, I was fortunate enough to see her speak at the Arizona Women's Ultimate Expo, and she was a phenomenal speaker, but I have watched her since childhood. And she's a beautiful lady inside and out, and her book was such a great read. And the woman I'm talking about is the amazing Linda Evans, and her book is Recipes for Life, My Memories.
That is phenomenal. I mean, I'm looking at the book right now. Great picture of Linda, and it's a really an interesting book with different recipes from people she's known in the past. And I think it's just something everyone should buy. Really, it brings back great memories for people. And, of course, I used to watch Linda on Big Valley all the time. I love that show. And joining us right now is Linda Evans. Linda, how are you?
Well, I'm great. Aren't you two very, very kind?
Well, absolutely. I'll tell you, I watched you all the time. I love Big Valley. What a great great show that was. And of course, I'm Dave Isaac, and we have Leah Haven in there, and we want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you very, very, very much.
Well,
it's
Linda,
for people, how they feel about your book. You spend 3 years writing something, and then you go, oh my goodness, it worked. How sweet.
It was such a fun read. And I, first of all, I want to thank your Laura Craig, who sent me the book. And who I've been corresponding. She was kind enough to set this up. But I was so excited about your book, Linda. I mean, what people don't really know, I mean, it's a cookbook, but really it's almost a spiritual journey through your relationships. And
well, I did think it was a little bit different. I wanted to tell my entire life, the ups, the downs, the goods, the bads, and include food that I love, because to me, cooking for people is love, and so I couldn't leave it out of my life.
You know, and I've got to tell you, some of the recipes that you put in there, I'm not a great cook, but I think I could even manage a couple of those.
And I could manage eating them.
Well, and I hope enjoy them when you eat them, because I took the very best that I have ever found in my life and put them in there.
Wow. I'll tell you what, one of the things, I don't know if you know what Match No Match is, but I'm a dating and relationship columnist, and this is a relationship show. And some of the things that you wrote, some of the recipes, for instance, your Fresh Start blueberry muffins, you know, when you were recreating your life with John Derrick, I love that chapter.
Yeah. Well, there is life after your man is gone, and I just want women to know, put your mind to your future and let go of the past. And just don't hold on to them, and you'll see magic will come into your life.
I really, really resonated with that chapter, because sometimes summertime is a tough time. I know that, you know, I get a lot of people that end up with breakups, but I loved how honest you were in this book.
I think it's important that people understand that people who are television and movie stars have the same pains and fears and doubts and insecurities and deal with the same issues as everyone else, and I wanted to be really honest about everything in my life so that people didn't think I was just writing it from the perspective of I'm different and things work out for me all the time. I have to work through it just like everyone else.
Linda, let me ask you, you know, since this is Match, No Match, and by the way, No is spelled K-N-O-W, so it's a little twist on words, so Know Your Match, but let me ask you, you've been in Hollywood a long, long time, and a great actress, by the way, like I said, Big Valley Phenomenal Dynasty, and an assortment of other films, TV shows, and I'm sure probably live plays and other activities. The question I have is, being so high profile in Hollywood, does that put, you know, when you match up with someone else and you're a couple at that point, does that create more pressure in the relationship when there's two high-profile people in that relationship?
Absolutely. If there's only one high-profile person in a relationship, it creates more pressure because, well, especially now, in the 80s and 90s, it was not as difficult as it is today. My goodness, you can hardly sneeze and somebody knows it and somebody's printed something about it. So can you imagine going through your own personal growing pains in a relationship and then having everybody see every one of them?
Oh, that's true. And it's so, everything, everybody tweets and it's so instantaneous. They're, you know, it's everything's kiss and tell now.
Well, not only that, because we have these wonderful cell phones that can be video cameras. You could be at a restaurant and someone could video you in your entire night, you know, and you could be having a personal moment, a disagreement, a heartbreaking realization with somebody, and it could be out there for everyone to see. That, how would anyone like that?
Oh, exactly. Well, I wanted to talk about your book a little bit. What inspired you to write it, first of all?
Well, getting, you know, in your 60s, it's an interesting thing for a woman. We have great opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is extraordinary because we get so wise. I mean, you live that long, you pay attention to your life, you get a lot of wisdom. And then there's the downside, the gravity and all the things physically that happen. And also for me, I had a lot of people in my life have personal crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like everyone, to be happy, and found out I couldn't make that work out with so many people that I loved and their problems. And I had to sort of, my life kind of crumbled at one point, and I went through a depression because I realized I couldn't hold my life together the way I'd held it together. There were too many things changing and moving that I had no control over, and I never knew that I actually was one of those women that thought I just love, 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 but actually behind it was a control so that everyone would be happy. Seems like a good idea, but in the end, the whole thing still is control. And I went through this complete collapse of how I held my reality and realized, wow, I want to do something to pull myself out of this depression. And the best possible thing when a relationship breaks up or things happen in your life and you're kind of in a downward spiral is to involve yourself in something to get you out, something new, something different, something that gets your mind off where you've been to where you want to go. And I decided, everyone said, well, you know, they've always asked you to write your memoirs and you always had a passion for cooking and wanted to write a cookbook. What if you combine them? And I thought, wow, that gave me something to wake up every morning and want to do and to figure it out.
Well, I noticed that there were a lot of lessons in the book, which, you know, I personally really enjoyed. You know, I've seen so many. I mean, you even had John Wayne's, a couple of his recipes in there. I grew up with my dad watching The Duke. So, I mean.
Right, right.
But you had so many wonderful things to say. And I noticed that there are a handful of people that you've, you know, had in the book, like Bunky, throughout all of your years. And I just, it seems like Hollywood is so disposable, but one of the things that really struck me with the book was you keep your relationships.
Yeah, hey, I love you. You're in my life, whether you like it or not. But, you know, there, every person has a value. And I've been very fortunate in my life that I've had some extraordinary people that I've taken you know, along with me in my life. And that's the joy, the relationships, the being with each other, you know. Our getting together, matching up, is pretty extraordinary because we become more from that match.
Well, it was just a fun read, and I can tell you we are going to give you a great book review at Smart Femme. It was a fun read, but one of the things
I try to bring humor, by the way, when you're talking about your life,
mm-hmm.
it really, really, really helps if you can make them laugh. You know, the best way to get out of a hole is to laugh your way out.
Well,
that's why I put so much humor in my book.
There was a lot of humor, and it touched me the way that you managed to, you know, women, I think, I don't know what it is, but women can be very competitive and adversarial when it comes to men. And for you to forge a relationship with Bo Derek and Ursula Andress, you know, what is your secret? How can we as women come together and not make the man the plan and really, really, really come together as women and enjoy our relationships outside of the man?
Well, you ask really good questions. Firstly, I liked Ursula and I liked Bo.
Mm-hmm.
I was prepared not to like Ursula until I met her, and then I was just crazy about her. And I thought, you know what? You care about her. Now that's it. She's your friend. Bo, I had known before John ran off with her. I'd spent months and months and months with her and knew what a beautiful young lady she was. And I couldn't dismiss her because of his choice. So these two ladies I actually liked, so it was no problem for me to become friends. It would have been different had he chosen two women that I didn't respect or like at all. But I did like them, and I had to overcome the fact that the one may come back and get him, and the other one went away with him.
Well, one of the things that's a lot. That's a lot to have on your plate at one time, first of all. But one of the things that I read in the book was you were actually mentoring Bo Derek, you know,
yes.
and then had to go away for filming. And I just find that so spiritually evolved. And
not really, because it wasn't that I wasn't heartbroken when it happened.
Okay.
Completely, you know, devastated by it, and went through my angry, my sad, my whatever, suffering moments. But when I allowed myself to go through that, and as I said, he called me one day and sit up in bed and go, wow, why am I trying to die for him? He's, you know, he's happy, he's gone. Why don't you get on with your life? The minute I put my mind to myself and picking myself up and creating my life again and going back out into the world, that all fell away because I was there in my present where I had all sorts of potentials. And by the way, and I say it in the book, and it's true, that if John had stayed with me, I never would have experienced Dynasty. I never would have had the career that I've had and the outrageous life that I had. So in a way, he did me a favor by leaving.
So there's a blessing behind every perceived adversity.
Exactly.
You know, and
it's a tremendous gift.
You know,
yeah.
I like what you're saying. You know, you mentioned that you know, you had some tough times, but once you got involved in a new project, something new, different, a goal, it brought you out of that certain state of mind that was maybe not serving you well. And really what you're saying is once you change your focus on something that you can't really go back to something that you can create, it sounds like you've really been able to be an example for women and men to be able to get to your highest and best place.
You said that perfectly. You said that perfectly, and that is the key, to change your focus, put your mind where you want to go, not what's been. The past just drags us down, if it's not the past we like.
Well, you are moving in a lot of different directions these days. I fortunately was able to see you speak at the Women's Expo. Thank you for coming to Phoenix. But I also heard that you and Linda Gray were in Washington recently and would love for you to share with our listeners what happens in Washington.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's the headquarters for Meals on Wheels, which they, you know, most everyone has heard of them. But I must say I was one of the ones that really didn't know the details of what they do. And my goodness, being a senior and being 69 years of age, I've become much more aware of these things. And they're beautiful. They feed a million people a day. A million meals are fed to homebound seniors who can't go out of the house and they can't cook for themselves. But the thing that I didn't know until I got more involved was that they only get lunch, and they only get lunch 5 days a week. They don't get it on weekends. And I think of all these baby boomers, you know, they're feeding a million, but there's 3.5 million right now who need food that they just don't have the ability to take care of. This is not just a federally funded program. It's donations from people and volunteers, and a lot of the, most of the volunteers are seniors who have retired and want to give because they can drive and they can do, and sometimes when these beautiful people are sitting at home waiting for their lunch to be delivered once a day, food, sometimes the only person they see that day is the person who brings them the food. So it's just a sad state of affairs what's going on today in America, that there are so many people who need food and can't get it. And I just, Linda Gray and I are wanting to make the public aware in case they could volunteer a day a week, or they could donate a little bit of money or do anything, because one day we will all be seniors if we're lucky.
That's true. Well, what an amazing testament to both of you. There's so many, you know, we always hear the celebrity horror stories, but using your celebrity status for the good of others. And, you know, my sister was a volunteer at Meals on Wheels, so I know what they do.
Oh, beautiful.
And, yeah, she also was a director of Red Cross. So I'm very much aware of what they do and how critical this mission is for a lot of people. Linda, is there? Can you tell me how people, our listeners, can get involved?
Well, MealsOnWheels.org. Mm-hmm. I think they could go to their site and see, or you know, find out if they can volunteer in their local. There are 5,000 programs across America that that are all involved in helping in this way with Meals on Wheels programs. So there's probably somebody locally or in your area that you could call, which would be extraordinary. I mean, just one day a week, if you had time to deliver meals, I would think that would just make so many people's lives happy.
Absolutely. What an incredible story. I just, when I heard that you and Linda Gray were in Washington, I was trying to reschedule or schedule the today's program, and Laura told me that you were up there, and I didn't know why. But a little bird told me that you were in Washington trying to plead your case, or actually the elderly's case, for meals for people that...
Well, there was a special day that they had meals for moms, and they did it around Mother's Day in Washington, D.C., because they had a place in Capitol Hill, a room where the senators and the congressmen came and would sign notes to their constituents that were our Meals on Wheels seniors, and so that they could see that we care and that they're not alone and we're trying to get more people aware so that they can all be taken care of.
Linda, we're going to take a quick break. Can you stay with us for a while longer?
Of course.
Excellent. And, of course, this is Match No Match, of course, starring Leah Haben and special celebrity guests. We have Linda Evans on the line. This is really exciting. We're learning some great life lessons through Linda. Great book called Recipes for Life, My Memories, and by Linda Evans. This is so exciting.
It is. Isn't it?
And we'll be right back.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074. 602-625-3074 to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match, No Match, starring Leah Haven, owner and founder of SmartFem.com. And we are so excited and really honored and blessed to have our celebrity guest on Match, No Match, Linda Evans, who has a book out, Recipes for Life, My Memories. And Linda, it's it's really heartfelt. I could sense it in your voice on some of your comments and insights that how compassionate you are for others.
Oh, my goodness, we're all on this planet together. We're here. And, you know, I was so lucky. I had a mom and a dad who just, they loved people. My dad used to bring homeless people home for supper. And my mom, felt compassionate to a neighbor whose young son had polio and they were roped off from everybody, and we were told not to go near them. And my mom used to take them meals because she just couldn't leave her with that situation. And even though she got polio from that moment, it never stopped her from giving in her life.
Well, that's absolutely amazing. And I'm gonna digress a little bit. I'm gonna go back to the book. You had the pleasure of working with one of my favorite people in the world, one of the most empowered women of her time, Barbara Stanwyck.
Oh, my God. What a blessing it was for me to be working with a legend in her own time. You know, I was just incredible on Big Valley when I found out that I was going to play her daughter. And then I had such a beautiful relationship with her. My mom had passed while we were making Big Valley, and she said, I know I'll never replace your mom, but I'll be your mom now. And she was just there for me my whole life till she passed.
I have admired her for such a long time because she was a very strong, independent woman in a time where it wasn't really popular.
No, it wasn't, and she had quite a career. But you know, all that. I don't know, there was some part of her that was so vulnerable underneath all that appearing to be so strong that I just completely adored.
Well, you actually talked about your relationship with her in the book and how she really kind of took you under her wing and really prepared you for Hollywood.
Right.
What an amazing story. Is there somebody else in the book that you would like to talk about? That really, well, I'm going to ask you because I love Rock Hudson. I would love to know about him and what I watched him as a child, Macmillan and Wife and Giant, and what a truly amazing man.
He was an amazing man, and I worked with him on Macmillan and Wife in the 70s and had the best time with him. He had a wonderful sense of humor, and he taught me how to needlepoint. He could do great needlepoint on the set because you spend so many hours where you're on the set just bored waiting for them to do the lighting or whatever. And he had a wonderful sense of humor. He asked me to be in on a practical joke with him, where he threw me down on the bed and kissed me when the crew walked in the room. And later, you know, when he was on Dynasty, it was just so sweet that we had all these memories. We'd see each other at restaurants and at dinners and just always enjoyed each other over the years.
Wow, that's amazing. Is there somebody... somebody else in the book that you'd like to tell us about?
About Yanni. Let's see. What about him? As a matter of fact, I understand Yanni is about to start a tour in America.
Wow. I love Yanni.
So you'll all be lucky enough to be able to see him perform probably someplace near where you are. Yanni, see, this is the other thing. Barbara Stanwyck told me, she used to call me Audra. She really never called me Linda ever, ever, ever. She'd say, Audra, if you're lucky, you have one great love in your life, and after that, it's over. And I thought, wow, that would be so sad, because John Derrick was certainly, you know, I thought at the time, the love of my life. Mm-hmm. And when he left for Beau, I thought, does that mean it's over? I will never have that kind of love again? And I know that I remember thinking, you know, I just don't think that's possible. I mean, you can't just get one shot at love. I'm going to believe in love. And then, of course, after Dynasty, I had moved away to the Pacific Northwest to have a life. And I was very much believing that in love and that love could happen when Yanni walked into my life, opened the door, took one look at him, and thought, my God, where have you been all my life? I just want to tap him and just say, what took you so long?
That is amazing. Well, you know, and you guys had 9 years together, I believe.
9 wonderful years, wonderful years. And, you know, I feel like I've just had a fabulous life. I've had opportunities, and I've made the most of everything that life has brought me. I mean, right now, I'm not with anyone, but, you know, it's just so fascinating. I'm totally and completely happy with just being by myself. I never knew that I could be so happy on my own. And it's interesting because Linda Gray and I were talking, and she's on her own, too. And I thought, isn't that funny that we're both in the same place in our life where we're just truly happy in our own company?
Is that just an evolution that happens? Of course, in the culture these days, and again, this is a match, no match, a dating show, as well as an educational show, is that... Let me rephrase the question. Wouldn't that be a requirement, really, to have a great relationship, to be totally happy first within yourself?
Well, you're spot on again. You do this very well. Yes, absolutely. I just believe, and perhaps it's women from my era, it was not something that you were encouraged to know. It was all about the marriage and the children instead of really loving yourself, getting to know who you are first, and then you could be so much happier for yourself and others. You know, the cup half full doesn't really work, but the cup full and then giving really does work. So you're absolutely right. I was of an era where it was the husband and the children, and that was the goal. That certainly I got to know myself more and more between boyfriends and loves, but right now I'm just having this great time with myself.
You know, Linda, you mentioned that you've had a couple great loves of your life. Let me ask you this. For those who haven't experienced that, how would you describe the great love of your life? What are some of the qualities, some of the things that you remember most that really would be classified and defined as that great love?
Okay. I've been fortunate to experience some beautiful people. And the difference is, and it's fascinating to me, because they are very similar, John and Yanni, in this way. There wasn't a day. Didn't matter whether we agreed or disagreed on what was going on in our lives, or was happy or was stressful or anything. There was a recognition of them that when I saw them, when I was with them in their presence, when I was in the room with them, no matter what was going on, there was something so beautiful about how I felt about them that it was consistent every day for the 9 years. Interestingly enough, I was with both of them individually 9 years. There was a joy in just seeing them, being with them, around them. Never got old. It never stopped being magical and beautiful when I would open my eyes and look at them and see that they were there. It's a funny thing. It isn't that there weren't other people that I loved and had qualities and that it was fun and that it was beautiful, but just the fact that they existed as who they were touched and thrilled and moved me. It's a hard thing to describe because I'd not really thought about it until you just asked it.
So it's sort of like someone's inner essence that is hard to explain. You can't see, but you can feel.
Right, and they resonate with some part of you that whenever you're around, it's just beautiful.
Wow.
It touches you. It moves you. It uplifts you, even in the bad times.
I know exactly what you mean, Linda. I know exactly what you mean.
Well, then there you go. One of the
things that I found incredibly intriguing about the book, there's so many pictures of you with not only the celebrities, but with the wives of the celebrities. And it was refreshing. There doesn't seem to be any kind of competition. And sometimes you're alone in these pictures with, couples. You know, there doesn't ever seem to be that third wheel, and there doesn't seem to be any kind of competition, and there seems to be a genuine affection between you and some of the Hollywood wives, and I found that really intriguing and rare.
Well, I don't know about that. I can say that we'll just take John Forsythe, who I completely and totally adored. You know, John gave me my first speaking part when I was 15 years old, and so he certainly played an important part of my life before I even knew, what that meant. Then to work with him, that many years later in the 80s on Dynasty, I felt so fortunate when I met his wife, Julie, this extraordinary woman who could sing. Oh, my God, she was so talented. When John met her, she was a star on Broadway.
Wow.
In a Rodgers and Hammerstein play, and that she married him, and of course, as most women of that era, retired to be the wife and the mom, and was fortunate that we got to travel all around the world together and be with each other, and that I got to know Julie, who truly was a fabulous woman. And so it was effortless. It's always sort of made me sad when we would go out when Dynasty first became very popular, and the paparazzi would say, I want a photo with Mr. and Mrs. Caring. I want, Blake and Crystal. And I said, well, here's the real wife of John Forsythe, and try to bring her in. And it was so funny that they wanted her to be in the background when, in fact, she was the most important person in his life.
Well, I like that you took the effort and kind of made her front and center stage in the book. I mean, I'm looking at Moon River, Whiter Than a Smile, and there's Danny Jansen and Ann Harris and Alana Stewart, and you. I mean, it just, you all look so beautiful and happy and smiling, and it's kind of a shame that you just don't see that anymore. Everything is so tabloid. And one of the things that I really enjoyed about the book, it's such a contrast to what's happening with the paparazzi and with the tabloids. And it's just really a feel-good read.
Well, aren't you very, very sweet? What I wanted to do is every moment we have a choice that we can make. And society is getting very pulled in opposite directions of you're right, you're wrong, you're with this group, you're out of this group. And as individuals, we can make choices that aren't what's going on collectively. We can say, I don't want to play that game, like you were just saying. I want to, my values are this, and I'm going to live my life that way, regardless of what society or people are doing right now. And I think a lot of people are getting tired of hearing about these things this way. We want to know what the good news of life is and what are the great things that are going on with people, and to honor each other and respect each other rather than to compete and put each other down.
Well, I just really enjoyed the book. That it was very spiritual and just kind, and again, just a really, really quick, fun read, and a lot of lessons. There's a lot of lessons in there. I mean, I really enjoy the fact that your relationships are lifetime relationships. You know, society's become so disposable, and we change our relationships like we change socks. And you have people that you've mentioned, you know, throughout the book that are close to you, and your sisters. I mean, you even mentioned your stepdaughter, and I have been a step-parent, and I know how difficult that can be. Can you tell me about your relationship with your stepdaughter? I think that was amazing.
Well, firstly, this book would not be written without my stepdaughter, because if you notice, she helped me with this book. My stepdaughter is John Derrick's daughter, Sean Derrick, and I was lucky enough to be, she called me her little mommy, when she was 15 years old, and we've had such a great relationship that I live on 70 acres in Washington State. My sister's in one corner, my nephew's in the other corner, and in the other corner, Sean comes. She lives in California, but during the summer to spend the summer here with me. And I got a chance to have a child, even though I didn't have her. And it's been beautiful for me. And she's grew up to be a wonderful writer, and she writes animated films, and she worked on the Smurfs when she first started working. And when I started writing this book, she helped me with it. Her name's on it.
Yeah, I did notice that, and I just thought, how touching, because sometimes the stepmother role, well, Hollywood does not paint a very flattering picture of the stepmother.
Not if you see Mirror, Mirror with Julia Roberts.
No, well, I think there's a new one, Snow White, with Charlize Theron coming out, that's pretty scary, too. But I just really, I really enjoyed that, because to be a role model to a child and to take on that motherly role, of course, Barbara Stanwyck did that with you as well. So,
right. I've been very, very fortunate in that way. Yeah, very.
Let me ask you a question, a couple more, Linda. Two in particular, but one is, when did you first know you wanted to go into acting?
I wanted to go into it. That was like right before Dynasty, but I never wanted to be an actress. As I said, I wanted to be a mom and a wife. And I was so shy in junior high school that I wouldn't get up and give a book report, so they forced me to take drama, or they were going to flunk me in English class. And every time I get up to do something, I would throw up. I thought, this is the worst thing in the world. But my dad passed away when I was 15, and my girlfriend invited me to come on her audition for a commercial. So I went with her, and at the end of the day, the director said he would see me, and I said, no, I'm not here. She is. And she went into the room and came out, and she said, he wants to see you. And he wanted me to do the commercial. And I said, I can't do this commercial. And he said, well, why not? Can you sit on a merry-go-round with a guy standing next to you and drink a ginger ale? I said, yeah, I could, but my girlfriend would kill me, and I don't know how to do that. He said, look, I promise I will give her a part. And there was no way I could say no, because my mom was on Social Security. We had no money. It was like, my God, I had to kind of do it. And he did keep his word. He gave my girlfriend a commercial, which was sweet, and me a couple more. But my girlfriend gave me her agent, and he's the one who sent me out for the Bachelor Father interview that I got. And it was like I couldn't do anything wrong. I would go out for parts, and I would get them. And we needed the money, so when I was 18, I figured somebody would notice that I didn't know what I was doing, and I should go to college, and I should get a regular life. But every time I enrolled in school, I kept getting parts. And, of course, when I met John Derrick, who, you know, I had seen in a movie when I was a teenager and had a picture over my bed and wanted to marry him. And when I married him, he tried to get me out of Big Valley, and they wouldn't let me get out. And so when it was over, that's when I stopped working, basically, to be with him.
Well, speaking of Big Valley, I'm looking at all the stars that have gone through Big Valley. I mean, we're talking some amazing people, Lee Grant, Robert Goulet. They've been on the show. We have Ron Howard, Dennis Hopper. I mean, the names go on and on. So a couple questions. One, is there one particular episode that really touched you more than others? And why don't you talk about some of the great guests that you've had on Big Valley, some memorable experiences?
Oh, goodness. Charlie Bronson was on as well. Wow, you're asking me to go back a lot.
I love Charles Bronson.
Yeah.
Oh. Right. But also, too, the irony was that Lee Majors came to California the first week he was there. He ended up being at a house that I was visiting somebody, and I met Lee Majors before he even knew he was going to be acting. He was with his wife and child, and it was months and months and months later that we both ended up being up for Big Valley, and we tested together. There were three men and three women, and we happened to have tested together to get the part. And again, I was so uncertain of my career, and Lee was so uncertain that he was working for the recreational parks in some manner, and he went on leave to do the show in case it didn't go more than 1 year. You know, we really were just, my goodness, is this happening to us? How is this possible? I mean, Richard Long was
one of his brothers.
Oh, madly loved Richard Long and Peter Brick, dear Peter, and, you know, Lee. It was just, what a dream come true for someone to have a show up like that. But then, as I said, John didn't want me to work. So whenever you saw Audra off shopping on the Big Valley, it was because it was a few extra days that they gave me off so I could be with John.
Wow.
I didn't actually want a career because my marriage to John ended. Then I married a man by the name of Stan Herman. Then that ended. And so the first time in my life I wanted a career was when I wanted, after my second marriage ended, and I was almost 40. And I said to my agent, okay, this is it. And he said, you've waited this long? I said, yeah, the marriage is, I just wanted to get married and have children, but I can't seem to make that my life, and I want to be totally independent. So let's have a career. And my God, thank goodness for Aaron Spelling, who was not afraid to give me a part the age that I was, because in those days, Jacqueline Smith and Farrah Fawcett were the rage. And then bless him for choosing Joan Collins a year later, because it really worked out for both of us.
What was Joan Collins like in person? I'm just going to ask you.
Everybody just has this thought that Joan and I are these arch enemies. But Joan used to come to my house when I lived with Stan Herman. We had a house in Malibu. She used to come over as one of my guests. She was in my life before that. That's why I was so excited for her when she got the part. We adored being me in my 40s and Joan, you know, some years older, that Aaron gave us these parts and that we could show women that we were not to be just, you know, don't think you have to be 20, 30. You can be 40, 50 years of age and still be in the game. And so it was really wonderful that we worked together all those years and happy for each other for it.
Well, that was one of the things that I thought Aaron did really well. He really, you know, especially Hollywood, where youth is, seems to be worshipped, and that where Hollywood has been notorious for kicking women to the curb. You know, they're either mothers or grandmothers after a certain age. You and Joan both had the opportunity to really show that women, no matter what age, could be beautiful and attractive and still have men. And I think, you know, for personally, it made aging a little less scary for women like me.
You know, that's one of the things that I'm doing now that I really love, and that's talking to different women's groups about aging gracefully and the beauty of what we can have if we put our minds to what works for us at this time in our life. We're living to be 70, 80, 90 years of age. This is just, thank God, because of medical science, what is the potential for us. And it's so important to get a really good attitude about these years because it's a whole other life, you know. Women get married and have children and grandchildren, and then they have 20, 30 years left. They can plan a life. They can plan unfinished dreams, things they always wanted to do. Now they've given, their love has given life and given to everyone in the family. Now they can turn themselves and say, okay, what's unfinished? What creatively do I want to do? What personally do I want to be involved in? That's why I love that, you know, seniors are giving back to others who aren't as fortunate as them. And people are having careers and going back to school or unfulfilled dreams that they're living. I think that's beautiful we have this time.
That was one of the things that you touched on at the Women's Expo in your speech, and I really love that about, again, making the second half of your life yours and going after those dreams and not limiting yourself. I found that extremely inspiring, and I think it's a message that women need to give permission to themselves to. You know, we take care of everyone else, and we tend to forget about ourselves. And I think by honoring our own dreams, we help others honor theirs.
Right. In January, I went to Africa and spent some time living with the Maasai. And my God, what beautiful people. They honor every single, from the moment you're born until you die, there's a place of honor for you. When they get older, they become junior elders and senior elders. And they're known for their wisdom. And they're an important part of the family unit of the community, of how things function. There's no such thing as you're less because you're older or less valuable. It's an honoring. That's quite extraordinary to see, and I would just love if we could get into something like that.
You know, that's a really good point. What is the starting point to change maybe the perception in America about elderly people? It seems like they're not valued as much. People think of retirement. I never think of retirement. I think of what's my next career, you know. And you said it beautifully, Linda, about attitude. It's all about attitude. But what are some of the things you think people can start doing to start chipping away at the culture here to really honor, you know, older people for the value they can bring to everyone's lives?
I think it begins with us individually. We have to do it with us first. It's like, be the change you want to see. You have to start living it, and you have to, and I think when we live it, when we don't believe the critical voice in our head, when we look at magazines and it says you have to be young, you have to do this, you have to be this weight, you have to whatever, buy this house, do this thing, be whatever, when we personally start disagreeing with that and start living the value that we know everyone is, other people will see it and want to know why we're happier than they are, or why we're living a life that's more inclusive of people than other people, and want to be a part of that, because in the end it's so self-defeating for a society to claim that when you get older, you're less valuable, because every day someone who says that is going to get older and be at the other end of that which they agreed upon. They're into their own demise eventually, you know, their own value. So I think what happens is that we as individuals have to start living it and surround ourselves with people of like mind and encourage that as the way to be, and just make, you know, people don't even think it through to know that they're undermining their own lives.
Well, I think you're right about that. I noticed that, you know, in Asia as well, the elderly are worshipped for their wisdom.
Right.
And we place a higher value. Everybody, and, you know, Europe as well, families stay connected, they stay together, they take care of each other. And America seems to be the only place that I've seen where we just kind of warehouse our elderly and put them in retirement homes and, you know, shut the door and we forget about them.
Right, right.
And I love that you're spearheading Meals on Wheels, and that you're, I love that you make aging look so acceptable and graceful.
Well, the alternative is really bad, and we have incredible opportunities. See, along with the things that we're saying we don't like about America, one of the beautiful things that we do love about America is we have the freedom to be and do whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
And so if enough of us really look at the situation and say, I don't agree with it, I see another way for myself that I'm going to live, and see who else wants to come in to this. It will eventually make a difference if we do it.
Wow, I couldn't. Well said. Well said. Well, Linda, getting back to your book, how can our readers get a hold of your book? It's a great read, and I want to make sure that they get it.
Oh, goodness, I'm not quite sure. I suppose they have bookstores, they have Amazon.com, they have, I don't know. I don't.
Okay.
I would assume you could go online and find it, or you can go to a bookstore.
Okay.
But online, probably they have them. I don't know what every bookstore does.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I know Amazon has them, and it's just such a great read. And I, anybody that really kind of wants to get some pearls of wisdom, it was kind of a spiritual read for me, but very much relationship geared, and I really enjoyed that aspect of it.
And well, as I said, it's been one of the most important parts of my life was always figuring out the relationship thing. So I learned a lot of things along the way.
You know, and Linda, before we let you go, and it's been a great, you've been so, just so great and gracious, and your insights, I think, definitely will inspire and motivate so many people. But what does the future look like for you? Do you have any other projects going on? Any other books? Any other activities that you're looking forward to?
Well, I'm still very, very much involved in this book, Recipes for Life. And I, as you also said, I've been going around talking at women's conferences, and that's a joy for me. I'm redoing my home, which is always fascinating. When you have the time, it was so many years I was involved in doing the book that everything just kind of was pushed aside, and now I'm looking at my life and going, okay, traveling. As I say, I went to Africa. I love traveling and learning around the world. I have my own organic garden, my own well, solar. We have lots of projects here at my house. I could be busy the rest of my life just taking care of the 70 acres that I've created. But I suppose also in my life is just room to be happy and to enjoy and say thank you for my life. I forget to be grateful sometimes, and I have to stop and look around me and go, wow, this is a good life.
That is so refreshing. It really, you know, in such a world of negativity, I just thank you for your efforts and for putting out kind and positive words to a world that really needs them right now.
Well, you're very sweet. Thank you both very much. You're excellent at interviewing. I love the questions you ask.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, Linda Evans, thank you so much for being on Breakthrough Thinking, Match No Match. And we will tell everyone to get this book, Recipes for Life, My Memories by Linda Evans. You're a joy, a delight, inspiration to all men and women, and we really appreciate it. We'll have you on again.
Well, thank you. Okay, have a good day.
You too. Take care of
that. Thank you so much. And, wow, Linda Evans, what an inspiring lady.
Oh, my gosh. You know,
no, really, this is amazing.
I know. Well, you know, there's so much negativity. And, you know, I fortunately with Smart Femme, I get the opportunity to read books and meet people. And this was just really positive. It was such a great book. It was a fun read. It was a fast read.
Really?
You know, and a lot of pictures, too. I mean, she has pictures of everybody from Ursula Andress to David Jantz. Remember Rockford Files?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
You know, Lee Majors.
There's Lee.
You know, I mean, there's so many people. And Barbara Stanwyck, who I absolutely loved. I still remember watching her in Stella Dallas. I like old movies.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, no question. And but, you know, you could tell how connected she is with this book. Of course, it's about her, but there's a passion there. There's a giving back there. It's like, wait a minute. And some of the things she said, you know, about, hey, you know, people can get depressed. She said that about herself. And people can have down times, but change your focus, right? And do something that will make a difference. And this book will make a difference in people's lives.
I think so, too. And it's got some great recipes, too, by the way.
What's your favorite? You mentioned the blueberry. What was it? The startup? Fresh Start.
Fresh Start.
Blueberry muffin.
Yeah, that was her starting a new life after John Derrick. You know, I kind of liked her mom's mac and cheese.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
I'm getting hungry.
I know.
I just had breakfast. That's it. I didn't have lunch.
Real? Me either.
Wow. So let's get some mac and cheese.
Floyd's Kitchen has some great mac and cheese.
Oh, really? I haven't had their mac and cheese.
Yeah, their mac and cheese, it's got a little flair to it, a little Italian flair, but it's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I like their bacon-wrapped shrimp.
Oh, well, I'd love that.
So this is so cool. We'll have to have her on again, part two, because I think, you know, I love the fact you mentioned, you know, the Meals on Wheels, really giving back, helping people. What was really sad, she said 3.5 million seniors are not able to get on Meals for Wheels. What was it called? Meals for Wheels.
Meals on Wheels.
Oh, Meals on Wheels. And that's a lot of people.
I didn't realize it was so bad. I knew it was bad, but I had no idea. I did know that they only got served once a day, and they didn't get served on weekends. And I know that certain churches will do a bag lunch, but only in certain communities. It's not everywhere.
Wow. And the fact that, you know, she talked about her experience in Africa, how they do honor the elders. And, you know, that's something that sounds like it's missing out here.
It is. And now that I'm getting older.
Yeah, we want to be honored already.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this would be. But she was quite right, you know, where the younger people talk about, you know, well, I guess they don't give value, I should say, some of them, to elderly people. But they're really creating their own demise, as she, well, you know, put it very well.
She did put it well. And I think that, you know, if we don't change things, we're doomed to repeat them.
Yeah. Yeah. That what I'm amazed at is, look at all these stars. You know, I have it up on the internet. Julia Adams has been on Big Valley, and Jack Albertson, Claude Akins, Marty Allen. I mean, John Anderson. It's unbelievable. Some of the stars, Ann Baxter, Milton Berle. I mean, all these amazing stars. Can you imagine? She didn't even think she wanted to go into acting till Dynasty. So there she is on the Big Valley, sort of hobnobbing with all these big stars. Unbelievable.
Well, one of the things that I like about her, though, she's managed to keep her Midwestern values throughout her life.
It seemed like it.
You know, family, friends, home. And I love the fact that, you know, even, you know, now she's realizing that the man's not the plan. She realized that at that, you know, after
she
John
liked
Derrick.
It when you said that, by the way. And this is Match No Match. Again, thank you to Linda Evans. Great book she wrote, Recipes for Life, My Memories, and fantastic. We'll have to have her on again. And we'll come back with the lovely, I was going to say the great, one of the great two, lovely Leah Haven, owner and founder of SmartFemme.com. And we'll be right back to continue our discussion on relationships. Be right back.